You're listening to a Mash Those Buttons podcast, brought to you ad-free with the support of our patrons. Visit mashthosebuttons.com or stay tuned after the show for more details. Welcome to the Mash Those Buttons show, where we cover the latest in games, community, culture, and everything in between. This week, we are going to talk about our hands-on experience with the PS5, or at least one of us is. We're also going to talk about some PS5 launch issues, and we're going to talk about Stakester wanting you to put your money where your mouth is. If this is the first time you've heard about Stakester, that is fine. It was our first time, too, when we found this article. So we're going to talk about that because we thought it was interesting. We're going to talk about more as well. This is episode number 30 for the week of November 16th, 2020. I am Jarrett, but you can call me Ja, and I am here with the Games Industry Public Defender, the Scourge of Ironforge, and official Microsoft shill, Nick Zelenkevich.
We are living in glorious times now that the Xbox Series X has arrived upon us. And we can rejoice and bask in its gloriousness.
Yes, and its vapey gloriousness. hey, I'm just saying, the Series X can vape. Can the PS5 vape? I don't think so.
Not that I'm aware yet.
Yes. And that voice right there, if you're not familiar with it, that is Corey Treadway, also known as Corbara, from the Dropping Spicy podcast, and also from our Clan of Three podcast that I've been talking to and you know about because I know you listen to the show all the way to the end when I talk about it. So our Clan of Three podcast that talks about The Mandalorian, our only non-gaming show, really, if you think about it. So, well, yeah, but that and Syrup, but I'm not going to get into that.
Either way. Syrup's like everything, so.
Yes, exactly. So. Let's catch up, everybody. Like, Kura, how you doing? I mean, you're here to talk about the PS5, so you don't need to give that part away yet. But, you know, before, because you're going to have a whole big block of time to talk about that. Oh, yeah. So, how are you doing besides that?
Not too bad. Been trying to play, like, been using my PS5 a lot, but as well as trying to get ready for Shadowlands and World of Warcraft.
Yes.
And keep up with Apex Legends. I'm just like, oh, there's so much stuff to do. I'm kind of glad there's not as many games this year. Like, there's still a lot, but not as many as there has been, because it's like really helps that Cyberpunk was pushed back, so I have time to play some of this stuff.
I've never been so happy about a delay in my life, to be perfectly honest with you. I've never been so happy. Actually, when Bob is moving right now, but when he gets back, that's when we're gonna get cracking on that, because we're finally ready. So. Nick, how about you? What's going on, man?
I beat Shadow of the Colossus finally with the kid. And that was fun only insofar as I don't even completely understand the ending. So I'm trying to like explain enough of it to the 4-year-old so that he, not so much that he understands it, but at least he's not like freaked out about it. Cause I'm like, yeah, like, oh yeah, that's right. Cause like the Dorman guy comes down and like takes over Wanderer's body. And then the other like villagers, you know, basically like kill him. And then he gets sucked into the pool and is cleansed and he turns into a baby. That's a lot for a 4-year-old to have to process. So I was just like, yeah, he's going to turn into a Colossus and then he turns into a baby. It's kind of fun. And then I just like, you know, kind of brushed a lot of the other parts aside, but
the violence aside.
Yeah. Well, the actual fighting the Colossus parts, he seemed to enjoy that. And especially that last one being so massive and climbing up like the skirt, for lack of a better word, like the structure around the Colossus's legs. And then, having to, you know, find our way from the back to the arm, to the arm, to the shoulder and whatnot. I mean, that part he enjoyed and all, but yeah, that's the one thing was that ending between the horse. And that was the other problem is like, because I already said, well, the horse is going to come back. I couldn't just be like, oh, we beat the Colossus and turn it off and like not watch the ending. Because now I was like, he needs to see right. The horse come back. So I was like, yeah, okay. So this is just weird. But It was good though. It was good, and it's still fun to go back and relive that game all these years later. So I enjoyed that part of it. And yeah, so you know, how many 4-year-olds can say that they helped beat Shadow of the Colossus?
So, question for you: now that you haven't beat Shadow of the Colossus, are you gonna go hit Ico, or are you gonna hit the Last Guardian next?
I might try to get the Last Guardian, although I have Ico. One of my friends lent it to me, and then like I never saw him again. not that like we had a falling out, just you know the way life works. But so I actually have Ico somewhere buried with my PS2, but I'm not busting that out because the last time I tried busting on my PS2, the graphics looked terrible. That system is dead to me. The games on it I love, but that system is dead to me for now. But I might try to get the Last Guardian. I just need to, if I'm going to play it with him, I'm going to have to like get spoiled on it. So like, I'm not going in blind because yeah, like I don't like, yeah, I don't know how like that part with the, like the horse, and I have no idea what happens in the Last Guardian, but like if anything, like the horse falling down the cliff, if anything like that happens in that, I'm like, I can't be like, oh, it's going to be okay. Like I'd have to like play through it and then play through it with him. But I do want to play through that anyway. So
he's going to be like, Dad, is it going to be okay? He's like, I don't know, man.
Yeah. you're 5 now. Shit's about to get real.
Bring it to him early.
Exactly.
Oh man. Yeah. So yeah, I've actually only been playing 2 things. I mean, I say only, you know, that's actually a lot for me right now. But I have been playing Destiny 2 with my friend. Destiny is a social game for me. Like when I want to talk to my friends, a couple of them, like that's our activity. That's like our golf, essentially, right? I don't even think we really pay attention to the story content. You know, like one of my friends just straight skips through it. And then he's like, why are we here? I'm like, well, maybe you should have read the little paragraph they gave you. And you know why. Just shoot things. You'll be fine. That's always the answer in Destiny. Shooting.
At least the shooting feels good in that game, so.
Yeah, exactly. So we've been playing Beyond Light. I mean, it is exactly what I expected it to be. We already knew that it was not going to be a great long campaign. There's going to be nothing close to Forsaken. They already said they'd probably never make a Forsaken-size expansion again. That's until Microsoft buys them, but... you know, that's not happening officially. We'll see what happens.
Forsaken pissed me off a little bit.
It pissed you off? Forsaken's like the best expansion they made.
No, that's why, basically. I went in and tried out Forsaken, and that caused me to get Shadowkeep. And I was super disappointed. I'm like, really? This is what I get after that amazing camp? Like, oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, it was bad. It was bad. So, but yeah, so I've been playing Beyond Light. Now I'm at the point where I'm at the grinding part where, well, now you got to do these bounties and do these strikes so that you can get Prime Engrams and get your light level up. And it just takes so much time. And the way Destiny works right now, you know, if you decide, like if you take a break and you don't play, right, you can't catch up. Like you, technically speaking, you can catch up from a light level perspective because they'll bump you up to the next light, you know, level that you need, or they'll make it easier for you to get items. But from a story perspective, or from like, you know, like a lore perspective or a mission perspective, like you can't catch up. A lot of that stuff is just gone. Like if you miss certain cutscenes in the previous season, you can't do those quests to see the cutscene and stuff like that. So like right now, if you play Beyond Light, and those planets are just missing. There's just certain planets that are missing, and you never got to see why the planets were missing. And then they basically talk about stuff that you should already know about. So it actually gives me less investment to actually play the game, because like once you're out, I was like, well, now I'm out, so why bother? But the only reason I even started playing it was because a friend of mine recently got a new PC, and that's our social game. That's our golf. So, other than that, the game I actually have been enjoying playing was Spider-Man Miles Morales. And so the fact that it is not nominated for a game of the year at the VGAs is tragic.
That's criminal.
It is. It's tragic to me. Like, I'm like, wow, like, how could this not be, you know, how could this not be nominated for? Because I understand it's Spider-Man from 2018. With some new abilities. It's the same map, you know, but it's basically Spider-Man 2018 updated with some new content, but it's still one of the best games that's come out this year.
Well, there's like one thing important for me is it plays Miles, which is my favorite Spider-Man. That's why I love it.
Yeah. Like it actually does give you a bit, it's a bit I think I talked about this last week a little bit. It's fresh. It's a bit fresh on Spider-Man because we're so used to the standard Peter Parker Spider-Man. You've seen those, what, you know, that story so many times. It's nice to have, you know, Miles in there now. So yeah, but I did beat it. It took me about 16 hours to 100% everything. And yeah, just had a really good time. I miss it already. I'm really looking toward the next one. So, but that's basically what I've been doing. And we're going to get into Kurabar talking about a PS5 because out of all of us, he's the one who managed to get one by accident, actually. So
dumb,
that's
going to
make some people upset. dumb luck. Before we do that, though, I'd like to welcome any first-time listeners. And I'd like to, thank you guys for taking the time to check out the show. And I'd like to thank and welcome back any returning listeners, as well as give a big special thanks to our Patreon supporters and our Twitch subscribers. And if you want to know when we go live, you can follow us on twitch.tv/mashthosebuttons. And you can also follow us at twitter.com/themashnetwork. And we'd love to have you join our Discord so that you can join the Mash Those Buttons community. And we'll have a great time, have some good conversations, play some games, you know how that goes. But Cora, well, first of all, why don't you tell people how you got your PS5?
Well, I got my PS5 where back when tax return season was going on, I got money to get me my PS4 had died. So I went and got me a Pro, but the one I had faults on it. So I took it back to GameStop to get my money back. They're like, hey, it's not official yet, but we're taking pre-orders for the PS5. This is back in like end of March, early April. Like, do you want to just put the money down towards your PS5? I'm like, eh, it's only a few months away. Might as well just put this down instead of getting me a new PS4. Sure. And then as soon as the PS5 officially opened pre-orders up, GameStop, they like, it's like, second, like, hey, your pre-order is in, you got your console. I'm like, cool.
Wow.
Nice.
Like, I didn't have to do that lines or do any of that, just done. And there was an interesting thing when I was picking it up from the GameStop. They had like a pretty long line, but it wasn't like that bad. But the, what was it? The one of the guys who literally picked up his PS5 before me, they gave him the wrong PS5. He had ordered a digital version, and they accidentally gave him the one with a disc drive, which is an extra $100. This guy was nice enough to bring it back. Like, hey, you gave me a disc one instead of digital. He's like, oh, it's different? And yes, their box is different. It's like a white box for the disc one and a black box for the digital. That store got lucky.
It wouldn't have been me. It wouldn't have been me. I go, well, the light shines upon me today. So, girl, you had a week with the PS5 so far. What do you think about it?
So far, I like it a lot. The weird thing is, like, it's just how freaking, like, when first I opened it up, I'm like, it's so big. It's like the largest console I've ever had. It's very heavy.
I can imagine all that. Speed.
Yes, speed is like heaviness determines speed.
But yeah, like, all that speed, man.
But like, I stacked this up against like an Xbox, original Xbox, PlayStation 3, PS4, and all that. And it was almost still taller than all those together. It's like, wow. Why is this so big? But
I told you, it's the speed. That's why. They gotta fit all the next gen in there. You know, that's how that works.
Is that also why it's a weird shape? Like, it's got a very futuristic design, but with that, you actually have to have a stand to put it in either mode, either vertical or horizontal. Like, when you buy the system, it comes with this stand right here, which switch, you change it, you can turn it, and it, whichever way you want, is how you either put it vertical or horizontal. And right. Putting it, like, if you want to have it vertical up, there's actually a screw inside the base of this stand right here. To keep it attached. But I would not recommend putting it vertical because I tried that. And when you put it vertical, it blocks. I can see, you can see on the place in the bottom right here, there's like these vents right here. And if you put it vertical, they get blocked, which caused the fans to rev up really loudly.
Are they intake fans at the bottom or are they exhaust fans?
I'm pretty sure they should be exhaust, but it's like, it seems to be a bit blocking stuff in there. Like, it just, it's trapped in there.
So, okay. So it gets louder if you actually stand it up.
It gets like significantly louder.
If you have the exhausts pointing down, isn't that how a rocket works?
That's a good point. Try to take off.
Hey, don't argue with the future, okay? You know, all this is just practice for the PS9. They made some incredible promises. They're like, man, this PlayStation shit ain't gonna last.
I guarantee whoever came up with that is not with the company anymore.
No.
Another fact is, like, it's not really clear where you're supposed to put the stand on it for horizontal mode, because in the back of here, there's like these symbols, like the PlayStation button symbols, and you're supposed to line them with the far left and far right square. But if you didn't check the manual, you have no idea that's what that's supposed to be there for. It just looks like a bunch of symbols on the back of it.
Well, that's what the manual's for.
I know. But it's usually it's obvious. It's like, oh, actually, like, how do you put this on? Okay. Good to know.
Yeah, no, that's what manual's for. I always read manuals. I'm that guy. Like, I could do something. I can do something over and over again. And then if I get a new version of the same thing, I will read the manual just in case something new has popped up. Just in case something new happened, I'll read the manual.
That's not a bad thing to do. I did read a manual for a USB Type 3 card I just put in my PC, and it just showed me the card. It didn't explain anything. Like, here's the card. Cool.
You got this, right?
Super mad. But I'm getting out of tangent, so that's not related to the PS5. The next thing I know is, like, when I'm active, like, about the console, if you activate it, it's pretty easy to activate, like, getting your first startup on there. There's a first time startup that apparently I missed because I tried to put on my monitor and it was going through my Elgato, so the HDC was turned off, so it would not let me play it. So there's a first time startup that you can only get once that I got to miss because I tried to go through my Elgato first.
Even to do a factory reset?
I had to put my HDMI and play it directly to my monitor. I connected to my Elgato first just because I was being lazy.
Oh, no, I got that part. What I'm saying is, like, if you do a factory reset, it doesn't do the one-time setup thing again?
It didn't do it for me. I'll have to try it again, see if it works, but...
Did you just do a reset or a factory reset?
I might have done a reset. That might have been it.
There you go.
But it was like I was doing some research based on missed. I'm like, oh, cool. I missed this.
Right, gotcha. Okay.
But when you're setting it up, it's like a normal setup. You put in your PSN and everything else. But a nice thing it does, it asks you if you have the disk drive like I have. If you have any disks, you can put it in, and it starts installing it right there while it does the patching and the rest of downloading. As well, it asks you, do you want to download any media apps for, like, Netflix, YouTube, Hulu? And you just select the ones you want, and it starts downloading that stuff at the same time it's doing the patching, so that once it's done with that, stuff's for, like, I put in Demon's Souls, and it was almost done installing by time. It got set up. Like, cool. It was past the part where there's, like, a minimum install you need to play the game. So it was past that, so I could just start playing the game.
Right, okay.
And I found that very nice. I didn't do the transfer. They asked you in the startup if you want to transfer your PS4 games over, because I have a 2-terabyte one, and this system only has 667.2 gigabytes of usable space for games and apps, which is nowhere near my 2-terabyte.
So, okay, so wait, you have a 2-terabyte PS4.
Yeah.
And you in the new PlayStation's only 1 terabyte.
No, it's 1 terabyte, but only 667.2 gigabytes of usable space. The rest is saved for the OS and other future stuff.
What the fuck, Sony? What the fuck? The fuck? The fuck? I can install Windows Server on under 100 gigabytes. Like, I usually will make a 100 gigabyte disk and install Windows Server on that. Don't have to touch it. Don't have to touch it after that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they're reserving 3 and some terabytes of space? So you only get a third of the spaces available. Like, they shouldn't even advertise it as a 1 terabyte device. This is my first time hearing that. I did not realize that.
Yeah, it gets better. There's also a slot for an expandable slot for an NVMe drive, but it's disabled currently.
Because they don't sell them, probably.
They don't have, they're like, we don't know what to recommend. I'm like, why don't you have that done already? There are tons of manufacturers. I'm pretty sure you can just talk to Samsung or any of them. Just like, hey.
Oh my God. Like, I can't believe that. So I've had a beef with the PlayStation storage system for a long time now, because essentially like, and people have I'm sure they've experienced this, where you'll go to install a game, it tells you you do not have enough space, but yet when you look at the storage, you have enough space, maybe just enough space. Well, no, you always have to have double the amount of space available to install a game. And then on top of that, all of your downloads also stay on the storage. They don't, like, you have to go delete each download or clear each download manually to get rid of them.
Yeah, you know. And this gets there's another better fact too that I found out when I downloaded Spider-Man.
Yeah.
If you don't do it right, it downloads both the PS4 version and the PS5 version at the same time, taking up both, like, so it's like it's supposed to be a 52 gigabytes, it does both of them, so you're using 100 gigs. I had to go there and delete the PS4 version.
Why would it do that? I'm glad you told me that, because I downloaded the I bought the Ultimate Edition off of the PSN store. Did I talk about how I did that last week, Nick?
I think you did, yes. Right.
Yeah, because if you try to just go into the PlayStation 4 store, it only has the launch edition. You have to go to the PlayStation website to get the Ultimate Edition. And yeah, because that's one of the first games I'll probably download. What I told myself is that when I get a PS5, I will probably do a new game plus on Miles Morales, because they did say they are going to figure out a way to get the saves transferred. They will do that, since it's a highly requested feature.
Yeah.
But
That's disappointing. It's really weird with that too, because in certain games like Miles Morales, once you actually download the PS5 version, it auto defaults to the PS5 version. But certain versions like Call of Duty default to the PS4 version.
Right. Yeah. That's just disappointing though, that like this that the storage, like, it's a 1 terabyte system, but yet the system reserves 3 terabytes. Why? Like, is it gonna, like, what happens if you store videos or stuff like that? Does that go into, like, this one operating system requires 3 terabytes of space?
300 gigabytes?
You said 300 gigabytes. Sorry, I said terabytes. My bad. Yeah. I keep saying terabytes. Sorry. Yeah. I keep saying terabytes. Yeah. No. Yeah. Because it's not 1,000 terabytes. It's 1,000 gigabytes. Yeah. So sorry about that. But, or 10 terabytes, I should say. But yeah. So, What operating system requires 300 gigabytes of space to use? When, like I said, Windows doesn't even do that. Like, come on.
I'm not sure what they did. Like, it makes no sense to me. They're saying they just need it for optimization and stuff. I'm like, but what are you doing back that needs that much extra space?
Right. It takes taking up a third of your drive. Like, in my opinion, if that was the case, if they should tell you, like, they should not be able to sell that as a 1 terabyte model.
Well, like, I think the box, like, it says in the box, luckily, like, it's a smaller size than a terabyte, but even then it's still stupid.
Yeah, like, I'm not a fan of that. I mean, because Call of Duty takes 200 gigabytes. That is what I'm hearing the new Call of Duty takes. I'm just like, God damn, that's a third of your space. A third of your space.
Well, like, mine's pretty much almost, I have like maybe 100 gigabytes left of all the games I've downloaded, plus the Spider-Man and Demon Souls, because you also get the PS Plus collection, which has a giant collection of games. So I've downloaded a couple of the ones I haven't finished. I'm like, I'll get that. Wow. Oh, I can't do that now. I need to beat this game first, then I can download this game.
Wow. Well, I'm gonna stop harping on the space. I'm gonna let you finish.
Well, a nice good thing about this system is at least the interface is, compared to the PS4, a lot cleaner, much faster. They separate games and media, and it doesn't take like almost 30 seconds to a minute to get to the media. So if I go to YouTube, it's not like, all right, we'll be there eventually.
One of the reasons I stopped using the PS or the PlayStation 4 as a media device was when they started separating that media stuff into that other menu. I'm like, dude, I'll just Chromecast it, or I'll use my Xbox. It's so much faster, you know?
Yeah, this one's separated, but it's a little bit different. Instead of being like a tab you have to open up, it's literally just you click over and it's there.
Yeah, no, that's good. Speed is good. That's why it's so big.
But like, also on they also changed the share function on this, which is good for people who don't have a PC and can't capture a capture card. Now, instead, like before, you had to go in the settings and set, like, you click the button, it's either you choose 1 minute, 60 minutes, 15 minutes, all that. This one, you click it, it's like, do you want to take a screenshot, or you want to capture the last 30 seconds up to a 60 minutes of footage, or do you want to start a recording?
Yeah, that should be helpful for people who want to like record long footage, but then that's also going to eat up your space.
Oh, too. By far.
So yeah. Does it allow third-party storage, like hard drives, like you know, USB 3.0 hard drives?
Yes, kinda. There's a caveat to it. You can use external, but only for PS4 games. PS5 has to be installed on the drive.
Oh, yeah. I'm not talking about for PS4 games. I mean to store your media on. Like, if you do a large recording, like, store that onto an external hard drive.
That I have to double check.
Storing it onto, your limited super fast Sony hard drive, you know.
I'll have to double check on that, but I'm pretty sure since, like, it's only things that didn't seem to be able to use an external was just PS5 games.
Gotcha.
And then the only other weird thing I found for the system before I move on to the next feature is they changed the button on the PlayStation on the previous one. You would hold it to power it down or press it once to go to the main menu. This time they flip-flopped them. Now you do a single button and it goes to the option to shut down the console. And if you want to go to the main dashboard, you have to hold it.
Nah, don't like. I can see that being a problem. But then again, I never pressed the buttons on my PlayStation. I always just use the controller. So
that's what I meant. The controller button, like the PS button on the controller. They switched that.
Oh, no. Yeah, they need to switch that back immediately.
The button right there that says like a PlayStation symbol, you press that, they switch that over. So it keeps throwing me off. Real like, press like, oh no, I have to hold it to go to the dashboard or I turn it off, hold it. Oh, wait.
Nope. Nope. Do not like.
That's the kind of change that there's no good time to make it because it's always going to be a jump from what was there before. So.
Well, I mean, it's like one of those situations, like, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Like, it wasn't broke.
I think they thought it was broke, because that's why they're fixing it.
No, they're like, this is the PS5, man. We gotta make changes, man.
I've heard nobody complain about it. I was, like, real confused by that.
I want to say that they were trying to... I think it has to do with how the way the console's used in Japan. I think they were trying to conform to standards, maybe not like official standards, but sort of how the consoles typically are set up over there, that's why they're doing the functionality that way. But
yeah, tell me about Japanese consoles, Nick. Well,
no, I'll have to find the article because I think I saw something about this last week that we didn't talk about.
Okay. I hadn't heard anything about that.
I most certainly haven't heard anything about it, so.
But I think it's a good time to mention the next part of that, the PlayStation's this new DualSense controller. Which, after just a little bit of use, is now my preferred controller on the PlayStation because it's just so much better than the PS4 DualShock. DualShock 4, I didn't mind that one. I used it better, liked it better than the Xbox. I'm a weird one. It's fine. But with this one, it's now like a much larger controller. And it's got, like my wife pointed this out to me, it's got rounded edges more compared to one that's more straight down on the PlayStation, so it doesn't hurt your hands as badly. Next confirms to normal human hands. And weird little Easter egg is on the little grip parts on the controller. You can't see it like on the controller, but if you look closely, the actual grip pattern is once again the PlayStation buttons, the circle, the triangle, and the square, all just super tiny.
Yeah, somebody else pointed that out. I did see that the other week, I think, when I was taking a look at it.
Real quickly, I just want to point out, I was wrong. I was thinking of a different thing that they changed that was conforming to standard. So it's not the power button. So yeah, they messed that up for no reason.
Oh, okay.
All right, thanks, Nick.
Speaking of things that are like standard, is actually this controller unlocked the PS4. If you plug it in by a cord, you can set it up where it becomes direct connection instead of Bluetooth. So if you want a little less impact put lag, you can actually set it up where you plug the USB Type-C into it. It just goes directly through the console, not through Bluetooth. You know, this part is a new setting they put in there where you can actually just set a direct control and doesn't go through Bluetooth at all. Unless you want it to, when it's unplugged.
That works.
It's a nice little feature. There's also, I noticed when playing, like, at least they add the haptic feedback in this one, which is nice. So now they've joined Xbox and Nintendo with having haptic feedback. And I thought it would be silly at first, but after playing stuff like Astro's Playroom and Spider-Man and be able to feel each of the impacts, feel the changes in textures from like water to sand. I'm like, I can't go back. Because I tried playing Spider-Man with a regular DualShock 4. And I'm like, this was like Wimpy Baby's first rumble now.
Right, right.
Because like we're in Spider-Man, when you felt like an enemy like stomping towards you, trying to fight you, like you felt the impact. Where on PS4, I'm just like, it's just like, oh, I guess they tapped me or something.
Right.
And one little feature that I think is a little is like the light bar is now much more less pronounced. So instead of being a bright thing in the back, it's now just a little bar right there.
They should have released a controller for the PS4 that was like that earlier. Much earlier. Or at least give you the option to turn the light off. I can't believe they never did like a firmware update or something like that to turn the light off. But thankfully, shouldn't be an issue anymore.
And they also, like a nice thing, they brought in a pretty decently lengthed, like phone length, like charging cord for the controller. Before, it was like a little itty bitty wimpy little cord that was like barely like this far. And now it's just like, I could actually be almost reach my couch with this. This is nice.
Yeah. Have you tried plugging the controller into your PC to see if that works?
That I haven't used yet because I haven't had any games that would use the controller on that.
Yeah, because I have a wireless Xbox controller that I use for a lot of games. But if I need, like, if I'm playing like a fighting game or a melee action game, I always go to the PS4 controller because it just feels it reacts faster, in my opinion.
Yeah, I'll have to try. It should actually be faster because it's using a Type-C adapter now. So I'll have to get back to you on that later. I did try the adaptive triggers they have on here. I'm still on the fence if I like them or not, because like they had it in Bugsnax and stuff and some parts of Playroom, but I couldn't tell if I liked it. It was like felt kind of like unnecessary at the moment.
Right.
And then my least favorite part of this controller is there's a built-in mic.
Why?
I just don't like having a mic that I can forget to turn off on my controller.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of games with background noise, I'll tell you that much.
Isn't it a little bit weird that you have to like hold the controller up to your face, though, to talk to it?
Yes. I also I can't get it to work either.
Oh, so you can't even get the mic to work.
My wife can do it. She does it fine. Like, there were some things that required you to use the voice on it. I couldn't make it work, but she tried it and, like, yeah, it's easy. Watch this. I'm like, same controller. I'm like, why do yours work and mine doesn't?
I think the best use of a microphone in a game, like where they require to use voice, is Grand Theft Auto 5. When you're robbing a store on GTA Online, when you're robbing a store, you can yell at the clerk and make him move faster.
Oh, I hadn't tried. That sounds fun. I didn't even realize that.
Yeah, you could do that if you like yell at them. At least they used to be able to. I don't know if you could still do it, but it used to be if you yelled at them, they responded to the voice.
Yeah, probably still there. They're always changing that game. I'm curious what they're going to add for the PS5 and Xbox gen stuff now.
Yeah, so.
But moving on to the next, we have games going in there. One nice thing about this console is every time you buy the PS5, it comes with Astro's Playroom. It's just a pack-in game. You can just download it. And it actually gives you a demonstration of the functions of the PlayStation 5. The haptic feedback, the triggers, and the audio.
Is that part of the 300 gigabytes of data, or that installed separate?
It's actually installed separately on your other thing. That would be great if it made a... At least that would maybe understand. But like a surprise about this game is it's a pretty meaty game for a pack-in, especially like a... Because usually their last Astro was like a few minutes, you play it, you're done. This one actually has like four different worlds, all with four with different with multiple levels in there and secrets. And you could play there for quite a while trying to 100% complete the game. And it does a great job of celebrating the history of the PlayStation family in there.
Mm.
And it's got some decent music. But
okay.
But like a nice thing also about this thing is I try this Spider-Man on both PS4 and PS5. And it takes about, if I want to load the game from fresh, while it's I've closed the game, just started up, I boot it up, I am swinging into the game in about 15 seconds.
That's impressive. I mean, that's kind of, it's impressive, but we kind of expected that, right? Because that's kind of what they touted this whole thing, mm-hmm. is the fast hard drive, how fast the console loads. More importantly, how fast it can load assets into games, which I think that's what's going to come into mm-hmm. play. Whenever Ratchet and Clank come out, I think that's going to be impressive.
Yeah. Like, it's one thing to talk about, but actually see it in action. It's like, oh, that's, I'm already ready to play. I love this.
Yeah.
This is where I found out, Spider-Man also has an option for performance or fidelity, which is going to be probably coming into more and more games, where you can have performance at 60 frames and no pretty visuals, or fidelity, which makes it use like a super sample of a 4K image and it locks you at 30 frames. But it looks terrible. Like, the stuff's supposed to look good, but without the performance, because you're in a game, it just doesn't look great. It's like, my wife was trying and she's used to playing console games, not PC. And she's like, why does it look bad now that you turned on fidelity mode? Like, because we're now playing at 30 frames. She's like, this is what 30 frames compared to 60 is? Like, wow. Just keep it a performance. That just looks a lot better. I prefer to play it that way.
Right, yeah. So you're saying the fidelity is not just with RTX and stuff like that. The fidelity actually is a super sampled 4K.
That's what they describe it as. They said it's a sampling of a 4K image. I don't know how they're actually getting that image, but that's what the description reads as. Plus, they have ray tracing and all that, which basically just sounds like RTX, but they're using AMD, so...
So would it look better actually at 4K then? And like, the image quality is just part of the problem that you're not using it at 4K, or... That's something that's going to, you're just going to want to use performance mode all the time anyway.
I want to say a lot of time, it's actually not the image. The image technically should look better. It's the frame rate is the problem.
Right. Yeah. Because when you step from 60 and then you start looking at 30, especially if you go directly, like if you switch it off and on, I can see that being an incredibly, incredibly jarring, right?
So how big will the console need to be able to do 4K at 60 frames per second?
A bit as big as a PC. As big as a PC.
Yeah.
So overall, like, what are you thinking? How, like, do you enjoy it?
Oh, I'm highly enjoying. Glad I got it, especially to play Spider-Man on. Like, basically, why I got the PS5. Like, I already have a really decent computer that I'm gonna be upgrading, but this one I like got for the exclusives. That's why I got the PlayStation 5 and. I don't feel sad about it. I'm playing a lot of Demon's Souls, which with its details and improvements from the PS3 is just beautiful game. Like, I booted up a Bloodborne to test out how like the speed stuff is on that one. And that one had to perform like was like a loaded a bit faster. The saves weren't as slow, so that was nice. But the graphics compared to Demon's Souls is like, oh, this is now very ugly.
Okay. Well, I'm glad you're enjoying it. I know, like, right now, it's just very difficult to get one to the point that, like I said, I'm not even going to probably try until next year. I don't think they're going to start putting them in stores until after Christmas.
And one final thing before I cut out of this one. If you do get a PS5 and you have PS Plus, be sure to grab Bugsnax, because that's a really fun game, and it's on PS Plus right now. It's a free game.
Okay.
It looks great. It takes a good function of the haptic feedback and the trigger. So give that game a try. And also there's the PS Plus collection, which gives you a bunch of the best games for the PS4. From like Persona 5, Resident Evil 7, Last Guardian. I don't know why this one's here. You got Days Gone. That one's not that's a little different. But also Final Fantasy XV Royal Edition and God of War. So if you don't have money for, you only have money for a console and you are able to get it, you still have some games to play from the last generation that are just a little, I guess, to play on your console while you wait for other games.
And they're good. I mean, like, especially like God of War. If you haven't played God of War, just fucking do it. Like, this is your chance.
One final thing before I just remembered, I forgot to write down. The console comes with a 2.1 HDMI cord. Make sure to use that. And don't, like, I went through my Elgato's recording later. I noticed on my screen, because the second thing is a regular old HDMI, it adds a snow effect if you're not using a 2.1.
Okay, well, that's good to know. All right, well, thanks for talking to us about the PS5. There's also been a bunch of problems with the PS5 on launch.
Mm-hmm.
lots of people, well, I shouldn't say lots, but quite a few people are doing things that you would think would be normal, and they end up bricking their PS5. So one, for example, PS4 transfers, or transferring your data from the PS4, if you use USB or LAN for the PS4 transfer, that has been causing the PS5 to brick and not boot up anymore. Obviously, losing power during a transfer will cause the PS5 to brick. Using external hard drives to transfer data will also cause the PS5 to brick in some cases. Entering rest mode will cause the PS5 to brick. So sometimes people get lucky. Sometimes people will go to the PS5, we'll put the PS5 in rest mode. And then when they boot up, it says, oh, your hard drive needs to be repaired. But what I'm imagining is some people aren't getting lucky like that, and it's just bricking the system on boot. So something's happening when they do put it into rest mode. And also, using an Ethernet connection for internet is causing the PS5 to get bricked. So these are some major issues. I would have bricked it on at least three of these items.
I'm surprised it even has an Ethernet port. Like, I thought it was just strictly wireless at this point.
No, why wouldn't it have an Ethernet port? It needs to have a fucking Ethernet port. Most people's wireless are not good. Like, they don't have great wireless. Like, so it's still better to go with a hardline.
Did the PS4 have it? I swear, I've looked at the back of the console. Yes. I'll have to go check it later. I don't remember seeing it, because it's like
my PS4 and my Xbox are both connected via Ethernet right now.
Yeah.
All of them, Pro, Slim, Classic, PS4, they all have an Ethernet. That's how I plugged all my stuff in. If I don't have to go through Wi-Fi, I won't.
Yeah. So, both already have it. Yeah, they have the Ethernet. So, but that's still, I'm sorry, but that is still the way to go. That is still the way to go. It is 2020, and Ethernet is still significantly better than Wi-Fi. So I hear fighting game players like complain about that all the time. People playing fighting games on Wi-Fi, you know? So yeah, but yeah, that's a shame. Like, I would hate it. Like, it was tough enough getting a PS5, but getting a PS5 and then having it brick within the first week, essentially, is devastating. Because if they break, actually it's the same thing I was saying with the Xbox last week, right? If they break, you're easily talking 6 to 8 weeks to get a replacement.
Mm-hmm. They don't have a lot of stock to replace it. So it's kind of like, well, shit.
Yeah. Yeah. They're easily talking 6 to 8 weeks to get a replacement on that. You know what I'm saying? So sorry, man.
Well, I thought I bricked mine the first time I booted mine up, because there's a 2-factor octave authentication that I put on it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I put it in. And it didn't continue on. I put it again. It's like, they kept giving me an error code. Like, error code. Like, this is the code you sent me. Problem was, it accepted my first code, and I was supposed to push back to go back and start the setup process. I'm like, okay. Why didn't you just continue when I put the code in? Why did you still just leave me on the 2-factor authentication page?
There was a story from somebody on Reddit that said they almost bricked their PS5. Because they have like an LG TV, and their LG TV uses HDMI, I think it's CEC, where those TV will automatically turn devices on and off for you. So when you turn off your TV, it powers down the PlayStation.
Ooh.
And she accidentally hit the power button on her TV, and it starts shutting down the PlayStation, I guess, and it wasn't ready to be shut down. And she had to go through a process where it had to repair the disc 3 times.
Glad I didn't do that.
Yeah, so if you have HDMI CEC enabled, you might want to, turn that off.
So if you don't want to brick the PlayStation, is the best thing just to not take it out of the box?
Yeah, that might be a wise strategy. If you want to keep your PlayStation healthy, don't remove it from the box.
Don't buy one if you don't want it healthy too, because it's like, no issue, just get a picture.
Yeah. Yeah, stop being selfish. Care about the PlayStation.
I have a piece of PS5. It's up in Canada.
So we're going to move on here, and we're going to talk about the co-founder of Rockstar Games. He is launching a new app, or actually he's already launched a new app. that lets players compete with each other and compete for money. So this article is from rockstarintel.com, and I'll just read a little bit from it. It says that it has recently been brought to the light that co-founder of Rockstar Games, Gary J. Foreman, has that left Rockstar Games in 2006 and previously worked on some of the older Grand Theft Auto titles, and Midnight Club has launched his newest betting platform, Stakester. Gary launched Stakester in May 2020. It lets gamers compete with each other for cash. So far, according to Bloomberg, it has drawn over 15,000 gamers in popular games in recent months. Gary expects to see further growth in the months ahead in an interview with Bloomberg. He announced Stakester operations will expand to Australia and Germany shortly. As of right now, the organization operates in the US, Singapore, and England.
You know, I wonder about this article, or more so, I guess, about Stakester's PR, that it only recently brought to light that he did this back in May 2020. Like, shouldn't the articles and the buzz have been back in May? What's he been doing for 7 months or 6 months?
Technically speaking, it could be that Rockstar Intel is the one that's late here. You know, that could be the case. Actually, maybe not, because I'm looking at the Bloomberg article now, and that has that was just published on the 12th.
Was that a Jason Schreier article?
No, it was a Olga Karif. I'm butchering her name, so sorry, Olga. But yeah, so it looks like this is recent news. But when they say that you compete for each other, they compete with each other for cash. They're not talking about cash prizes that you would get from like the website or something like that. They're like, you could put up money and play somebody 1v1 in a game, and winner takes the money. That's what they're talking about here. That's what Stakester is. Like, you basically, like, I'll go to the Stakester website, and the way that Stakester works is, because they have a how it works section. You choose your game and you pick the terms. You select the amount you want to enter the competition with, as well as the rules for your chosen 1v1 game. This ensures a fair duel with no spats, sore losers, or crybabies. That's not true. That is not true. You enter the arena. You own the app. You seek out a worthy opponent or challenge a mate to battle it out with the virtual death. Buckle up, boss, because it's your time to shine. That's not my words. That's the website's words.
That sounds just like what you say, Jarrett.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So you beat your opponent. Yes, you did it. To prove your victory, both players take a photo of the results screen to submit via the app, so the glorious gamer can be verified and appointed ruler of Winnersville. That's also something I say a lot, right, Nick? Winnersville.
And then,
that's on the website. And then you take home the glory, real cash, real prizes, and real bragging rights. And so I don't know how much of a cut they get, because I can only imagine there's a cut that they take from your winnings, like if you win from Stakester. But yeah, so that's how Stakester works. Like, it is a gambling platform. It is, essentially. However, they say it's not. So there's a quote from the website on the About Us. It says, yes, you heard, because it says gambling is stupid. And he says, yes, you heard, gambling is stupid. We said it before and we'll say it again. This gig isn't about ridiculous risks chancing your cash. It's about playing like a pro and getting paid like a pro. Completely wiping the floor with your mate and watching their tears fall with such proud smugness. It's about being a winner, believing in yourself, and being part of something amazing. And do you want to risk it all with do you want to risk it all with stupidity? Fuck no. So, I wonder if a lawyer told him, yeah, if you say it's not gambling, it's not gambling.
Works for loot boxes.
So is a limit to what you can put down? Or, like, I'm still pretty sure this is going to get some legal ramifications for not, like, is there an age? Like, I'm looking, is there, like, how old you have to be to sign up for this?
I have no idea. Like, I'm not signing up
for it. Oh, it says you must be 18 years or older. Okay, there's that over there. So at least they got that. Like,
right. Yeah.
If I sign up for a bowling tournament, and it's a $5... buy-in, and then the winner gets, you know, let's say it's 10 people, so the winner gets the $50. is that gambling? Because like it's a tournament. Like I think that's the argument that they're trying to make here about it not being gambling, because gambling implies some sort of payoff based on randomness or luck. And I mean, you could argue like there's luck involved in every game and whatnot, but that to a certain degree, like here, it's like, no, like this is you're choosing games that are games of skill. You know, if I'm competing in, you know, like I'm trying to think, like if I was a boxer, I don't know. And again, like, you know, you have to pay to get into the tournament, but then the proceeds, you know, the winnings come out of the entry fee. I don't think that explicitly qualifies as gambling. So I don't know. Yeah. I see what they're saying. And I mean, this does sound an awful lot like gambling. But I don't know if, because it's not a game of luck, if that meets the minimum definition, unless like you're specifically playing games of luck. I guess you could try to do like online poker through this. Although I don't know why you'd be playing poker with fake money just to get real money the other way. It's one of those things where it may not legally meet the definition of gambling, but it's very close to gambling.
Yeah, I think that the big difference between that is like if it was an entry fee to enter, and then there was prize like cash pool that went together, that'd be a bit different. This is actually you have to set the amount like each you have to put in, and you're risking large amounts of money. Could be, I guess it could be a smaller. I think that kind of changes to make a little bit of gambling, because you're putting a risk out there where $5 entry fee, not really risk. You lose at most $5. Here, you could lose a lot if you put a lot there. That's literally a bet. You're betting that your skill is going to work.
Yeah, you're making a wager. This is like if you go into a pool hall and, you know, you put down like, okay, well, we'll play. We'll both put up $5. Whoever wins takes the money. You know, and this leaves people wide open to get sharked, to be perfectly honest with you.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Like, oh man, you beat me. How about we double it up? Like, you know what I'm saying? And as cliche as that sounds, it fucking works.
It still happens a lot.
You know, it still happens. Like, people will get, you know, fucking sharked here. So, yeah, I mean, it is definitely gambling, but they're saying that it's not gambling. So I'm curious, how does that work? You know? And if you're making, like, let's say you start making a bunch of money from the site, like, how does that work from a tax perspective? You know what I'm saying? Like,
Gabriel wants their cut.
That's the thing. I mean, I understand it's not built for that, you know, but people take things to the extreme all the time. Uber, DoorDash, all that stuff was not built to be full-time jobs, making a lot of money, and yet people did it. And that's why we have, like, the situation in California, right, with the proposition and stuff like that. So yeah, this is definitely gambling 100%. And I'm curious to see what happens and how people actually participate in it, you know? Mm-hmm. So, and also, what about the game developers themselves? Like can they send a cease and desist, like don't have our game available on your site? Can they do that? Cause think about those sites that used to do the Counter-Strike like slot machine things, right? You know, I'm pretty sure a bunch of them got shut down, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And what about games? What about games primarily designed for kids? Like, even if adults are playing that, could they get upset by that?
Kura, yeah. I'm going to beat the shit out of you at Bugsnacks later, and I'm going to take all your money.
Yep.
No, but what I just wonder is like, okay, so like you both have to take a screenshot of the result of the match and then send it for verification. Like if you lose, what if you just don't? Like does that nullify it? Or are they going to be like, well, if you didn't send it, therefore we assume you didn't take the screenshot? I mean, what if, you know, you pull the old, oh, I disconnected. Oh, you know, does that nullify like this?
Yeah, well, if you don't send a screenshot, they'll probably, and you lost, they'll probably assume that, you know, you just didn't send it because you lost. So I don't think you can just not do it. You know what I'm saying? And then, you know, it'll it'll be okay. I think you'll end up like kind of fucking yourself if you don't.
Well, would that also be tough for fraud if you actually say you won something that no one actually agreed to?
Man, they don't care about fraud here. Like, the, you know, they're not going to like legally pursue that. You know what I'm saying? So I am curious to see how it works out. I don't think this is something that anybody was really asking for. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't see the appeal, but they said 15,000 people signed up, but you know, it could be like a lot of people sign up for things just to, you know, check it out. You know what I'm saying? So I guess we'll see. But I did, there was another article I found here that was actually pretty interesting. And it talks about, it says, the title article is Next Gen is Making Me Care Way Too Much About Frame Rates. And it comes from Vice.com. And the author was basically, you know, saying that, you know, they didn't think that frame rates are a big deal until they actually saw them, right? They were one of those people who were like, oh, frame rates don't matter. And they actually rolled their eyes at people that said that they did. But actually, I'll just read some of the article. So you can kind of get where he's coming from. And it says, the new Xbox and PlayStation may not be revolutionary, but there's a lot of important shifts happening alongside them. In the past, only PC owners had the opportunity to tweak graphical settings to their liking. But with the PS5 and the Xbox machines having to support both 4K and 1080p resolutions, those concepts have made their way to consoles. On the PS5, where I've spent most of my time in the past few weeks, this is typically conveyed by choosing either performance or resolution mode, and performance frame rate is emphasized, often resulting in slightly less sharp image, but one that's really dang fast. In resolution, everything is crisp, but notably slower. That's the key. It's very notable. Not just notable, even. It looks bad. Demon's Souls starts in performance mode, while Miles Morales starts in resolution mode. I flipped Demon's Souls over to resolution mode, technically it's called cinematic mode, and was immediately taken aback by how much worse it looked. By comparison, it felt unplayable. After looking up some frame rate tests of the game, it confirmed my suspicions that one runs at 60 FPS and the other runs at 30 FPS. I've been just fine with 30 FPS. Heck, that's the frame rate I originally played Demon's Souls on PlayStation 3. Says, I am now a frame rate snob, the kind of person I used to roll my eyes online. I'd like to have an option that turns off a part of my brain. So, yeah, like when you've heard, like, I mean, it's been for decades, PC gamers have been talking about frame rates, like, mm-hmm. you know, and how like consoles just don't have great frame rates. You know, it's one of the reasons why I think console esports isn't as big as it probably should be, you know, except BFGC. Because fighting games play at 60 frames per second. It is important that all that, like, that visual information that you get, that you get double the amount of frames. You get twice the visual information. And you're able to make decisions that much faster. Mm-hmm. And that's at 60 frames. That's like when people play Overwatch. Now, they're only playing. This is why it's huge that the Xbox One will play a lot of games at 120 frames per second, not just 60. Because, you know, playing Overwatch at 60 frames per second versus like 144, even 120 is a big deal. It's the difference between always getting Reinhardt shattered and being able to see a Reinhardt shatter and doing a quick block. You know, that's really the difference there. So frame rates have always mattered. I think in terms of game mechanics, they're always important, but it's not necessarily required for enjoyment, right? Like, I just got done playing Miles Morales on the PS4, which plays at 30 frames, and that was awesome. Like, it was a great cinematic game. Like, I really enjoyed playing it at 30 frames per second. I would have enjoyed it more playing it at 60 frames, but 30 frames is fine, you know? But yeah, I mean, 60 frames, where is that, man? I mean, the more frames, the better, as long as your TV can support it, you know? So, you know, I think right now, just getting consoles to 120 frames per second is going to be nice. They still got a long way to go because, you know, PCs are going from 144 to 240 hertz or 260 hertz. I can't remember what's the standard.
I think there's some now that has actually gone over 300 hertz now. There's at least one that's like, I think, 340, 360, something like that.
Right, yeah. So, you know, and with the I know, like, right now a lot of graphics cards can definitely pump out more than 144 frames. So you'll basically have a steady 144 frames if you have a 144 monitor. The higher you go, the harder it's going to get to maintain those frames. But, yeah, I mean, Yeah, like, welcome to the club, dude. You know, and it's going to be a lot of, I think, a lot of console people that are going to be experiencing this for the first time, like 60 FPS, especially when the competitive shooters hit, you know, and they play at 120 frames per second, we're going to see a huge difference. You know, I think, you know, people are going to want more and more frames, going to be frame hungry now. And I think this is really going to help esports when it comes to console games, to be perfectly honest with you, because, you know, being locked at 60 frames a second while an opponent maybe have 144, 120 frames puts you at a disadvantage. Mm-hmm. It does. It makes it easier to track. It makes it easier to aim, everything. So, but he did talk about the fact that if you play at 60 frames or if you play at the performance, your image isn't as sharp. And to that, I say, if you want something that can deliver both a high quality image and, you know, at least 60 frames a second or more, so you got to come into the big leagues. Got to come and get a PC, man. Like, mm-hmm. It makes a difference. I am sorry. Like, it does. So, go ahead, Nick.
Is this something that, whereas, like, the PS3, like, that was sort of the introduction of, like, the HD era, and, like, even the PS1 was really sort of the beginning of, like, 3D gaming kind of stuff. Like, or, like, those generations, not those consoles necessarily. But is this something where, like, because I guess, like, you know, is it that TVs have advanced enough that we can start to get to 60 frames per second regularly? Or is that's really the big sort of technological breakthrough of this generation, that when we look back, like, oh yeah, that's when 60 frames per second really became mainstream, was the PS5.
Yeah, because you know, we've had 60 hertz TVs for God knows how long, you know what I'm saying? So 60, and there have been games that played at 60 frames per second before. I mean, on PS2, there are games that play at 60 frames per second, you know? This is just finally consoles catching up.
Yeah. You know? And that's why sometimes people would actually be using gaming monitors instead of TVs for their console, is just so they could hit that 60 hertz or more. It's like, I can't do TV, but TV's not doing it. Just get a game monitor. Does it better.
I can't imagine having a TV that's below 60 hertz. Like, I bought a TV in 2008 that had 60 hertz, and it wasn't even that expensive, you know? So, yeah, the technology's been there.
It's not the 60 hertz. There's other features in the TVs themselves that make it an issue. Like, some TVs, if you don't tweak it a bit, it'll literally slow down your hertz. It doesn't matter if you have 60 hertz. It's going to, like, just make the game unplayable.
Like what? Like what features? I've never seen
just that. there was movie mode stuff. It would say take my stuff, and it would put an input lag. I tried playing Doom originally on my PS4, and everything was just sluggish, and I put a button in, it would take a while for it to actually work.
You're supposed to turn that shit off. Yeah. I'm talking about, like, just your base TV. That's what I'm talking about. Like, that 60 hertz has been a thing for quite some time, you know. The thing that would, that's going to, I think, will be more killer for console users now is, okay, fine. You have your 60 hertz, or you have your 120 hertz. What about your refresh rate? now we got to talk about, response time. Mm-hmm. You know, like, my monitors have less than 1 second, or 1 millisecond, less than 1 millisecond response time, which makes a difference. That's how you kind of keep the sharp picture from, like, kind of fading or ghosting or dragging or whatever, mm-hmm. you want to call that. So I think that maybe be the thing now is, you know, you got to get the response time down. But I haven't had to buy a TV in quite some time. Like, the last TV I bought is one I had to buy 3 years ago, I think. And I barely use it, because even my consoles, I actually play on my PC monitor, you know? So, yeah. But, yeah, I can understand. Like, welcome. Welcome. Welcome, brothers.
Glad to have you.
Yeah. So now that's the good thing about this console generation, is that it's pushing the tech forward. And as the tech pushes forward, that means PC can push even farther, which is going to, it's just good for gaming when the tech steps up this way. So, our final topic here is Project 007. It's kind of a surprise. It's an article from GamesIndustry.biz, even though I did see the actual teaser trailer when it popped up on Twitter. But IO Interactive has teased its next project, and it is a James Bond game. And I'm reading this from GamesIndustry.biz. It says, Project 007 is a collaboration between the studios behind the acclaimed Hitman series, film producers MGM and EON Productions, and licensing specialist Delphi. It might be Delphi. I might be saying that wrong. A very short teaser trailer debuted online today with a statement released shortly afterwards revealing the upcoming title will be the very first James Bond origin story. That does not mean it will be an adaptation of Casino Royale, either the Ian Fleming novel or the 2006 Daniel Craig film, nor the Anthony Horowitz penned prequel novel Forever and a Day. Instead, this will be a wholly original Bond story developed exclusively as a video game. This is at least the second time they've done that, because Everything or Nothing back in the PS2 era, I think. Was that Everything or Nothing was PS2? That was an original story. Was it Pierce Brosnan? Yeah.
Yeah, it was played PS2, GameCube, PS2, and Xbox.
Yeah, and that was a completely original story. And that one was good. And I remember it specifically because the driving portions were built by the Need for Speed team, who at the time was on fire. That's why I remember it. So that was actually... What?
So I said I didn't try this because like after the ones after GoldenEye, I had bad experiences.
Yeah, no, this was a good one. So I definitely I would have recommended it. So, but this is the second time they're doing a completely new game. I think the big takeaway here is that we have the team from Hitman developing a 007 game. You know, like this, I think this is a good fit. This is really going to work. Now, I have not played the new Hitmans, to be honest with you. I have both. I have both of them. I have all the seasons too. Have never played it, and it's one of those games that's on my list. I know when I go to play it, I need to be there. You know what I'm saying? Like I need to be paying attention and playing it. Good.
Yeah, I think the only problem with I think it's going to be good because those Hitman games were great to play. The only problem was waiting for each episode to drop. But since you have all of them, you're going to have a wonderful time.
Oh yeah, well that's how I typically do it. Like especially if something episodic, I will. I'll just wait. Like all the Telltale games before, I would just buy it and then wait for the whole thing to come out, and then that's when I would play it. So, but yeah, this is good news. I think this is going to be nice. I'm looking forward to it. I mean, I don't expect to see this until 2022 at the earliest. They're announcing it now. I'm expecting whatever form. We're just going to call it E3 season. At this point, we'll give respect to the OG, but if they don't come back, nobody would mind, right? Even though I do need somebody to take the reins. Come on, Jeff, you know what I'm talking about here. You know, we need one. We don't need a whole bunch. All right. So, I mean, I think during E3 season, we'll see more information about it, and I think maybe sometime in 2022, I'm thinking late 2022. We'll see it. So
yeah, do you think we'll see a demo for this game come out before it kind of launches? Because I kind of want to try it.
I don't know. I don't think so. There's so many, like I think going forward more developers are going to be available on or not available, but more developers are going to be inclined to do demos, because we saw that more this summer. That was the one good thing that Steam did. They did that event that had all those demos, and that was so awesome. So I think that'd be fine, but a game like this probably not. So all right, hold on a second. Okay, so we're gonna start closing up here. I'd like to thank you guys for listening. And coming up this week on Mash Those Buttons, actually not this week, sorry, coming up next week on Mash Those Buttons, because this will be out on Friday. This is our first official Friday release. Last week we released two. Well, I guess technically speaking, it's our second, but you know what I'm saying. Either way. So coming up this the next week on Mash Those Buttons, we're going to have a new clan of three for those Mandalorian lovers. You'll get to hear Korbara here. We're going to have a new Warcraft Reloaded, a new Double Tap, a new WoW Talk, and a new Dropping Spicy.
Busy week.
So, yeah, every week is busy if you're me. So, so yeah, we're going to have a wide array of podcasts. And I'll just recap for those who don't know, Warcraft Reloaded is our World of Warcraft classic show. And Double Tap is our fighting game podcast. WoW Talk, which you'll hear Nick here on, is our World of Warcraft podcast. Actually, no, that's coming out Monday, isn't it?
Yes, yes, it'll be out Monday because Shadowlands launches Monday.
And that's going to be out Monday, yeah. So we're actually going to be putting that out a little early, so enjoy that. And Dropping Spicy, which you also care about on that, that is our Apex Legends podcast. All right, so enjoy those shows. And if you want to keep up with what's going on with the Mashes Button Network, you can follow us at twitter.com/TheMashNetwork. Cora, why don't you tell them where they can find you?
Can't speak for some reason. If you want to follow me, just catch me over at Twitter at Kerbars, and on Instagram, Kerbar_.
And Nick, how about you?
I am at WookieBH on Twitter. You can also find me here on the Mash Those Buttons Network. I'm the recapper on Clan of Three, so you can check that out with Death Squad and Edinar and some other guy. I forget his name.
Yeah, that guy's a jerk.
And then I'm also on WoW Talk this week. As we said, Shadowlands is coming out, so it'll be our – I think we're going to look back at BFA. We might have a guest. I don't know what we're doing, but we're recording on Saturday, so that'll be fun. And then, and then also on the Torn and the Goblin, but that's not this week. So, yeah, check all that stuff out.
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at Jostradamus. You can also find me streaming on Twitch at least every Friday when we stream GTFO. You know, me, Corbar, and two of our other friends, we do Cage Drop on Friday nights. This week we're doing R4 C1. Actually, yeah, if you listen to this on Friday, we'll be doing R4 C1, and hopefully we'll be successful. And if you listen to this next week, we will be doing R4 C2. So hopefully we'll see how that goes.
I'm looking forward
but
to it.
Yeah. Yeah, it should be a good time. So check us out there. Give us a follow. Also encourage you guys to, you know, join us in our Discord, which is mash.gg/Discord. And, you know, join our community and we can have a discussion. And if you want to reach out to us and contact us with comments and questions, you could do so either on the Discord or via Twitter, or you can email us at contact@mash.gg. If you want to, to help us out a bit, you can share the show with others and you can rate and review the show on your favorite podcast platform of choice. We would appreciate that. And also, if you want to take your support a bit further, you can join us on Patreon at patreon.com/matchlessbuttons and help support Matchless Buttons with tiers starting at $1 a month. And you gain early access to content as well as exclusive content. We're probably going to be readjusting some of the tiers again to work out the content a bit better. Mm-hmm. The rewards a bit better. We also have a Teespring store, which is teespring.com/store/mashthosebuttons, as well as Twitch subscriptions on twitch.tv/mashthosebuttons. So if you want to support us that way, you can do so. We'd appreciate it. And I encourage you guys to stay tuned after the show to hear more about Mash Those Buttons. And that's it. We're done for the week. Thank you, Corbar, for coming by and talking about the PlayStation 5.
Welcome.
And we will catch you guys next week.
Later, guys.
See you and stay safe.
Enjoy Shadowlands soon.
Thanks for listening to a Mash Those Buttons production. If you enjoyed the show, you should check out mashthosebuttons.com and see if any of our other shows might interest you. All of our shows are available on your podcast platform of choice like Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and more. If you enjoy our content, you can help support Mash Those Buttons by becoming a patron at patreon.com/mashthosebuttons, where you can receive Patreon bonuses for as little as $1 a month. You can connect with Mash Those Buttons at twitter.com/TheMashNetwork, facebook.com/MashThoseButtons, or join our Discord at mash.gg/Discord.